morning, we want to look at the Bible is the Word of God, or it is God's Word. The verse that was read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that Jason read for us, tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God, or God-breathed, letting us know that it's from Him. However, if we're talking to someone who doesn't already believe the Bible, telling them that the Bible says that it's inspired by God isn't going to do the trick, is it? The Quran makes the same claim that it's the words of God. The Book of Mormon, same claim that it's the Word of God. So what is it about the Bible that is different from all of the other books out there that claim to be from God? I want to look at a few of those things this morning very quickly. There is no way other than God inspired it for us to explain certain things about the Bible. There are certain things about this book that are so unlike any other book that we cannot explain it except to say that a supernatural power, the God that we discussed last week, must have revealed it to mankind. Why is that? Well, first of all, we see that we have a historical accuracy in the Bible that's beyond man's knowledge at the time. There are several passages, I'll just pick a couple of them. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 14, God describes the place where the garden was. Verse 13 really says that the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that encompasses the whole land of Ethiopia. We know Ethiopia to be in the area around Egypt, an area of the world known as the Mesopotamian Valley today. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Assyria, we know to be an area in that same general region, but in the Middle East, around Iraq, Iran, and Israel of today. Well, when God created man and placed him in this garden, thus starting human civilization, he placed them in this area, Mesopotamia. Since then, all of the scientific scholars, archaeologists, and others have gone to great lengths to try to figure out where mankind started out. Where did civilization start? Where did people first live? And everything that they have found up to this day and time has pointed to the Mesopotamia Valley, this area between Ethiopia in Africa and Assyria in the Middle East on the Asian continent. So everything that we have discovered through all of our historical studies, through all of the archaeological studies, everything points to that being the place where mankind began. Now, how would Moses have known that? He didn't have all of the years of study that we've had to come to that conclusion. How did he know it? Quite simply, God told him. We see several other things. We'll just mention these quickly. In Genesis 12 and verse 10, we see Egypt already being a highly established culture, highly developed already at this time, at the time of Abraham. Three or 400 years before Moses. How did Moses know that God told him? Genesis 15 and verse 20, we read about the nation of the Hittites. This particular passage in the Bible was used by skeptics for years to disprove the Bible. They say, here the Bible talks about this nation of the Hittites. There is no nation of Hittites. Never was a nation of the Hittites. We've never heard of these people. They don't exist. Well, recently, archaeologists have rediscovered some of the places where these Hittites lived and rediscovered that there was indeed a nation of Hittites. How was it that the Bible, for hundreds of years, believed by thousands and in fact even millions of people over those hundreds and thousands of years to be the Word of God, and they believed that this nation of the Hittites existed when the common knowledge of the human race was there is no such group of people and never was? Again, the Bible was shown to be the one that was accurate, and man's thinking was the one that was wrong. Genesis 12 and verse 2. There's a detailed history of the Jews continuing from that point on through the Old Testament. Very detailed. 2,000 year history of the Jews. Many of the things that are written throughout the Old Testament about the Jews were doubted by scholars that didn't believe the Bible. They didn't believe that there was a King David. They didn't believe there was a King Solomon. They didn't believe all of these other things that the Bible portrayed to be fact. And yet, as more and more archaeologists are over in that area of the world digging and uncovering things from the ancient past, they're finding more and more that the evidence supports the biblical story, that the biblical account is the accurate one, and that all of those skeptics were wrong. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. We're told about how Moab overthrows Israel. That event is recorded, and they have found the stone, the Moabite stone on which that event was recorded. In 1 Kings 14 and verse 25, we read of Shishak's invasion of Jerusalem. That's also recorded. They found a temple called the Temple of Karnak, where Shishak and his followers and those who came after him recorded the events. In 2 Kings 17 and verse 6, the Assyrians are said to take Samaria, and yet they come to try to take Jerusalem during the reign of Hezekiah, and they fail. That also is recorded in other places. They've found now the evidences of these things being recorded in secular histories. Histories that had been lost and had to be found again. But the Word of God has been here all along, declaring these things to be fact. Yet the skeptics scoffed at it and scoffed at it and said, oh, that can't be true. And then time and again they would uncover evidence that showed that the Bible had been right all along, that they had been wrong. And yet still they remained skeptical. Despite all of these things that they have found that the Bible was right about. More than that though, the Bible shows superhuman scientific knowledge. Knowledge of things beyond their time. For example, we know that during the time of Columbus there were many that believed the world to be flat. Believe it or not, there are still people today that believe the world's flat. That if you sail too far, you'll just fall off it or something. There's still people that believe that. Well, at the time, 500 years ago, when Columbus discovered America, that was common thinking. But nearly 2,000, over 2,000 years before that, around 900 B.C., almost 2,500 years earlier, Isaiah, the prophet of God, in chapter 40 and verse 22, refers to the one who sits upon the circle of the earth. The circle of the earth. Not a flat object, but something circular, something round. Indicating that Isaiah knew the world was round. How did he know that? He'd never been up in a spaceship to look at the earth and see it being round. How did he know? The only explanation is that God had given him that knowledge. The rest of the world at his time certainly didn't think the world was round and wouldn't for another 2,500 years. In Job chapter 26 and verse 7, the book of Job faithfully records that the earth is hanging on nothing. that's holding it on his shoulder. He's not riding on the back of a great turtle or anything of that nature. It's just hanging there. Or nothing. People of Job's time certainly didn't think that. They had all sorts of stories for how the earth was moving around and how it was situated in the universe. In Leviticus chapter 13, in the law of Moses, they're told to quarantine the lepers. They don't use the word quarantine, but what they're told to do is set them apart, to be away from the other people, and from any of the other infectious diseases as well. The idea of a germ or a bacteria or a virus that we so commonly talk about, oh, I think I've got a bug, I think I got a stomach virus, I think we talk about that all the time. But back here in the time of Moses, it was unheard of. In fact, just 300 years ago in our country, one of our presidents, George Washington, died along with the illness as a result of the fact that people thought he was sick because he had bad blood, and so they cut him and drained the blood out of him. So in combination with the illness, he was already sick, and then when they took his blood out, he didn't make it. That was the common thinking of the time. If you're sick, it's because you've got bad blood. That's certainly not what Moses taught the people. We also see when Noah comes off of the ark in Genesis chapter 9 that God shares with him a concept that, again, for many years was not known. And that being that the life is in the blood in chapter 9 and verse 4. The life of a thing is in its blood. How did he know that? When even 300 years ago, people didn't acknowledge that the blood was what gave you life. In Genesis 17 and verse 12, they're told to circumcise the little boys on the eighth day. It's now been proven and shown that on the eighth day of a little boy's life, the ability of his body to clot and to repair then a cutting wound, which circumcision is, some type of a surgery of that nature, his ability to clot that blood so that he doesn't bleed to death is at the highest that it will be any time in his entire life. How did Moses know that? He'd just go out and try it a few times. Oh, we'll try this one on the first day. Well, that one bled to death. No, that's not how it happened. He got it right the first time. He knew it was the eighth day. How did he know? He was told. God told him. There are many other things. The geographical exactness. People who have gone to what was often referred to as the Holy Land, and they've seen the things there. They've seen Jerusalem, and they walked along those roads where Jesus walked 2,000 years ago. Some have pointed out that if the Bible says up, or the Bible says down, then it's actually up or down. And we talk about going up when we think of going north, and going down when we think of going south. But the Bible records up and down as actual height, altitude, above sea level. Up is up and down is down. They weren't confused by north and south. That's why people say, when it speaks of someone going up from a certain city to another city, they say, well, that's south. Why are they saying go up? You don't go up when you're going south, you go down. We go down to Mobile. We don't go up to Mobile. Well, in this case, the city that was further south was at a higher elevation. The Bible was right to say, go up to that city. There are other things as well that are recorded. Mountains, cities, other waters, different nations that were recorded faithfully in the Scriptures. Then, of course, the future foreknowledge, the prophecies, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, the things that they foretold that were going to happen in the future that came to pass, even to the degree of naming by name a king that wouldn't be, that hadn't even been born yet, and tell telling what that king was going to do in his lifetime. All of these things foretold in the Bible. How is that possible? I couldn't even tell you that the NBA playoffs going on. I couldn't even tell you who's going to play in the, for sure, in the finals yet. There's still one more game left today. I can't tell you who's going to play in the finals, much less who's going to win it with any certainty. Certainly couldn't tell you the score of that game. But the Bible told in greater detail than that. It told events that were beyond man's knowledge. Told that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. That's pretty amazing, since Jesus' parents weren't from Bethlehem. The fact that he was born in Bethlehem is miraculous. It told that in Micah 5 and verse 2. In Isaiah 53 and verse 9, it says that Jesus is going to be with the wicked in his death, and with the rich also. But he was crucified between two thieves, and he was buried in a new tomb that had never been used. How did Isaiah know that was going to happen? The only answer is that God told him. The amazing unity of the Bible. You realize the Bible was written by about 40 different men. 40 different men over a period of 1,600 years. Now I dare say if all of us in this room sat down when we got home tonight and described the events that took place this morning, even though all of us were here, you'd get very different accounts of it. Some wouldn't even remember which songs we sang. Certainly wouldn't remember the order. Certainly wouldn't remember all the scriptures that the preacher used during his sermon. And yet, the unity of the Bible shows that throughout from Genesis to Revelation, there is no contradiction. There's no place where one person wrote down that one event occurred and another person wrote down that that event didn't occur. There's unity and continuity in the scriptures. And then we think about the influence of the Bible throughout the years. You know, the Bible gives the only satisfactory answers for many of the world's problems. If people would only follow the things written in the scriptures, think how the world would be improved. If only they would follow the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That one verse in and of itself would change the world tremendously. And has changed the world tremendously. From the time that the New Testament in particular was written, a time of tyrants, a time when there was abortion and slavery, and all kinds of ill and evil going on, but when the message of Christ was brought to that world, the entire world of that day and age changed. And the same thing would occur today when people believe the Bible and will do what it says. We think about how the Bible has shaped our culture. The first hospitals were started by people who believed in the Bible. The first schools were started in order to teach people how to read the Bible. All of the things that we think of as our society's founding principles, the laws that we have, don't kill, don't steal. Where did we get those things? From the Bible. Our society is based upon the Bible. There's a quote in the bulletin this morning by George Washington, our first president. He said, it is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. It's impossible. And he was right. The world would be in chaos if it were not for this standard of authority that we must go by. To think about the common words, phrases, and quotations that people use, the proverbs that people say, and how many of those things came from the scriptures, from the Bible. Wherever the Bible has gone, freedom has followed, elevation of the role of women has followed. Realize that at the time the New Testament was written, women were thought of as nothing more than property. And yet, Jesus and the apostles, through their teaching, showed that women were of much more value than that. The value of life itself. showing that mankind is above the animals, that we're not just another animal, but that we are above that and we are to act higher than that. Think about the things that the Bible has changed in the world every time it's been here. No other book has had the kind of influence that it has had. No other book is so precise and so exact and so free of error. So free of contradiction. No other book is able to foretell the future with such certainty. Or is so precise with geography, scientific foreknowledge, and historical accuracy. Even our modern maps. Shortly after I moved here, we were trying to go to Quitman, we were trying to go through Riderwood, and we were looking at the map. Followed the map. Wound up down around Gilbertown. The map was wrong. The map said we needed to stay on a particular numbered road, and we stayed on that road. We weren't supposed to. We were supposed to turn off onto a different numbered road. The map was wrong. And that was the standard. That was considered to be right. But the Bible, in all the time this book has existed, no one yet has been able to find an error in it that would stand up when it was actually examined. Oh, sure, people talk all the time about all the mistakes in the Bible, and they'll throw out this or that or the other. But when you sit down and examine what they claim to be the errors in the Bible, not a one of them will hold water. All of them fall through. This is a book that we can trust as being beyond human origin. Since the Bible has an uncanny accuracy in these areas that we've discussed where it can be checked out, because of that, we can trust it to be accurate in those areas we can't check out. What about life after death? We can trust this book to be right about it because it was right about all of these other things. What about how we are to be saved? We can trust this book to be right about it because it's right about everything else. There's no reason to doubt that what this book says is in any way wrong. Because everything that can be checked about it has been checked. And every time, it's proven itself to be accurate beyond doubt. If you're here this morning, you have a need to respond to the invitation. Perhaps you need to obey the Word of God. Obey what this Bible tells us to do by believing in Jesus, by repenting of your sins, confessing Him, Jesus, that is, as the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world, and then being buried with Him in baptism to wash those sins away. The Bible tells us those things very clearly. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, as well as Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, telling us these things are all necessary for our salvation. You're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you have doubts or have had doubts. You've not trusted in God's Word. You too may need to respond to the invitation as we stand and as